To see everyone, it's good to be back in the western Oklahoma area. I am Debbie and I are from kind of this area. I grew up in Laverne, Oklahoma. I was waiting for applause, but I didn't get any there. So she came from Guymon, Oklahoma, and so we're kind of from this part of the country, and it's always good to come back and see this. I was talking to Mark beforehand. Pastor Mark and Mark Ward and I all played together for the Travelers, and I hate to even say we calculated how long it was this morning, and the year I played was 35 years ago this year. I'm the first Traveler that was 2 years old when I made the team, and they were much older, but anyway, it's been good to know them over the years, and we love Pastors Mark and Jada. Aren't you thankful for them? Now, come on, aren't you thankful for them? Yeah. I tell you that they have a heart for the church and for the body, and they're great pastors. I always say this, and I think I've probably said this before here, but you never trust a shepherd that doesn't smell like sheep. And they're shepherds that smell like sheep. They love people, they love you, and I'm so grateful to just call them friends and grateful for them to invite us to come and trust us to come and fill the pulpit while they're gone. So, you know, Dusty was joking there, but it's good for a pastor to get away every once in a while. Amen. If you don't know that, you've never been a pastor. But it's good to get away because, you know, you give and you say, well, you just preach on a Sunday once in a while. No, it's a lot more than that. They carry a lot of burden and load. So I'm grateful that they got away and pray for them as they're there, that they come back refreshed and ready to go again. Amen. How many of this is the first time you've heard or saw me? I thought there was a lot of brand new people here. So, well, I'm grateful that you're here, and we're glad to get to know you. Again, it's been January 2020 since we were here last. And how many 2020 lasted about 5 years for some of you? I'll tell you, it felt like a lot longer than 18 months since we've been here. But we're grateful to be here and thankful. So, are you ready for the Word? That's about half of you, so it's going to be a long morning. I always tell you, if you amen, I preach a whole lot shorter, so amen. I knew I'd get some there. All right. So let's pray before we go into the Word. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that it is alive. And Lord, we came to hear from you. And I pray right now, you remove me from the whole equation. Lord, I pray that you speak to your people. I pray that you just give us a Word straight from the throne room of heaven. And Lord, I just yield myself to you, and I ask you to think through my mind, speak through my mouth. Lord, let your words come forth. Let it glorify and honor you today. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone agrees, say amen. Well, today I believe I got a powerful word for you. I was telling Mark before we started, this is probably my favorite message that I preach. And and I'll set that up here in just a minute. But it's a powerful word that it's one of the biggest transformations in my life I've experienced. And so it's something that's changed me forever. How many have you know one of those moments that the Word of God or God himself touched you, and that's a marking moment that you'll always look back and say, I've forever changed right there. Today I'm going to share one of those marking moments that changed me forever. And it changed how I saw the Word. It changed how I see God. And so today we're going to have a good faith message. How many know faith is important? You know, the days we're living in, and just as Pastor Dusty was up here and we were praying for Afghanistan, we need to pray for Haiti as well. But we're going through some things with COVID, with all of the things. There's some serious things going on our planet, right? And what we've got to know is we are the hope. Thank you for that two amens right there. We are the hope. The world's looking to us to see how we respond to things. And if we're panicked and if we're fearful and we're whining and complaining, then why would they want to come to us for anything? We've got the answers. Oh, come on, you missed a great place to shout right there. We've got the answer. And we're going to face some trials. We're going to face some tribulations. You're going to face some battles. And you might say, well, Pastor, I don't want to hear that. Well, you can say that all you want, but Jesus himself said, hey, there's going to be tests, there's going to be trials, there's going to be tribulations. But be of good cheer. I've overcome all of those things. So we've got the answer, and we're going to face some things, but the world is looking for the church to rise up and be the church. The world is looking for us to rise up and give them the answers. They're looking. They're looking for power. They're looking for the miraculous. They're looking anywhere they can look. But we've got to be the ones that show them. Right? Pastor Mark's the one that shows them? No. You're the one that shows them. Right? Woo! We got a long way to go this morning. Are you ready? So we're gonna go through some stuff, right? So today we're going to talk about one of the things that made faith the easiest thing for me. Because as we face the things we're going to face, how many know it's going to take faith to get through them? Yeah? If you don't know, let me help you. And if you're taking notes, write this down. It's going to take faith to get you through. Are you a note-taking crowd? I love how Brother Robert Morris says it a lot of times. He goes, if you're a note-taker, write this down. If you're not, write it down anyway. That's the way I am kind of too. Write it down anyway, all right? Because today we're going to learn some things about faith that, again, made it really easy for me. How many struggled with some areas of faith in your life? How many are still struggling with some areas of faith in your life? I believe that today's word will help you through those things. And today my title is this, God Will. Say, God Will. So I've been talking about faith, and I wrote myself some questions today. How important is faith to you? First of all, what do we know about faith? We as born-again believers, do I got any born-again believers in here? Let me see your hands because I can't tell by your faces. All right. Come on, smile. So as a born-again believer, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. How many know you're going to get in trouble today if you're walking by sight and not by faith? Because I'm seeing some messed up stuff out there. But I don't live by what I see. I don't live by what I feel. I don't live by what I hear. I live by faith. So we walk by faith, not by sight. How are you saved? Saved by, through grace. We're saved by grace through faith. We access what he did by believing in faith. How are you healed? By faith. And the Bible says, again, the just shall live by faith. So the justified, those that are born again, this is how we're going to live. And so in other words, the Bible and God's telling you, it's going to require you to walk in faith, to live in faith. You're going to have to learn to believe no matter what you see, no matter what you hear, and even no matter what you feel. Some of you know your feelings will jack you up and lead you the wrong way. How many could testify to that for a while? But if we live by faith, if we walk by faith, in fact, the Bible, let me get you really the final mic drop point right here. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay? So, I love that verse. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I teach Foundations of Faith at our Bible college in Tulsa. And one of the things I teach my students is because that verse kind of comes off with a negative connotation. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I say, but if that's true, and how many know that's true? The Bible says it is true. So if that's true, the converse of that is also true. With faith, it's impossible not to please him. Ooh, you should have jumped and shouted and ran around the room right there. So just a little bit of faith. Come on, stepping out in faith, it pleases our Father. And we're going to have to do it in these last days. And how many know we're in the last days? The Bible says we're in the last of the last days. I believe we're going to see him in our generation. Things are lining up. In the Middle East, things are lining up. And I don't say that to scare you. In fact, we as believers, we shouldn't be scared of that. That's what we've been looking for. Woo, it's coming. If you're not ready, today you can be ready. Amen. Man, God's stretching out this beginning, and I don't know why, but it's for someone. How many is already reaching out in faith and grabbing something today? So, with faith, we can please him, right? So we're going to learn about these. One of the things that we want to do is grow in our faith. And today I'm believing for you to grow in your faith. This one's not going to be on the screens, but I want you to write this scripture down. This is a good one to have on your refrigerator. Good one to think about and meditate on every day. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "For we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren." And when he says brethren in the New Testament, he's talking to born-again believers. He says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly." Say, "My faith." Come on, everyone. "My faith grows exceedingly." Today, we're going to believe for, and we're going to see our faith growing exceedingly. And I'm sorry, this is, there we go. Is that a little better? Testing. Can you hear me now? I bent it away just a little bit, but there we go. I don't want to get too bad and blow you out. Okay, so say, "My faith grows exceedingly." So I was talking, how many know it's good to talk about the Bible with one another? If you don't have someone to talk about the Bible, you got someone around here, find them. And every day, you know, talk to someone about what the Word's doing in your life. Don't just be a Sunday morning Christian. We got a bunch of CIA Christians. They're in the closet every day, all the time, except on Sundays. It's everyone else is coming out of the closet. It's time for us to come out of the closet, right? Come on. Talk about the Word of God, because it stirs you up and it stirs your faith up. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by this anointed Word. And so talk about it. Talk about it with one another. Stir each other up. I was talking about my faith, and we were talking about the Word one time with a guy that worked for me, and we were just stirring each other up. And he asked me this question one time, and it really got me going. He said, "All right, if you could have only 5 pages of the Bible for the rest of your life, which ones would you choose?" Now, I don't want you to get lost and think about what 5 you would choose today, but I'm going to actually share with you one of the pages I would choose today. That's how important this transformation in my life was to me. All right? Are you ready? Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. You're going to hear one of my pages. Exodus 6, I'm going to read verses 2 through about 8. Exodus 6, 2 through 8. I'm reading out of the King James for now, then we'll transfer to the New King James. "And God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am Jehovah the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by my name El Shaddai, God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah I was not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will rid you of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I will take you to me for my people. And I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land of concerning which I did swear to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord." All right? That's my page. And if you're like me, I'd have probably been sitting there going, "Okay, great. But what was in that that made that your page?" Because, how many of you know, I'm a preacher and I do this. I can read through something, and how many of you have ever been reading the Bible, daily Bible reading, and you read through like a whole page and you're like, "What in the world did that just say?" Ever been there? And this is one of those times I was reading this, and the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, not an audible voice, but the Spirit on the inside said, "Hey, go back and read that again." And I read that passage again, and it was like, "You didn't get it." I think he knew I was from Laverne. It's going to take you several times. He said, "Go back and read it again." And I read it again, and I didn't get it again. And he says, "Read it one more time." And we're going to go through some of the keys of these scriptures I just read, because something jumped out at me that changed me forever. Let's go back to verse 2. He says, "And God spoke to Moses and said unto him, I am Jehovah the Lord." Now, let me set the context of this. This is after Moses has already gone to Pharaoh. The children of Israel are slaves in Egypt. Moses has already gone to Pharaoh and said, hey, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, not doing it. And so it looks like Moses has already failed. And now God begins to speak to him. Come on, how many's had some failures in your life? And then God shows up and begins to speak. How many's walking through some stuff right now? You need God to show up and speak. Well, he shows up and he begins to speak to Moses. And he says, hey, I am Jehovah the Lord. How many of you know God's the same yesterday, today, and forever? So he's telling him, I am Jehovah the Lord. All right, get that. Verse 3, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and to Jacob. Now that's the big three right there. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, I appeared unto them by my name El Shaddai. Come on, say El Shaddai. El Shaddai, your Bible probably says God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah, I was not known to them. And right there, it jumped out at me. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they knew him by the name El Shaddai, but they didn't know him by Jehovah. He says, by my name Jehovah, I was not known to them. So I want us to look at this, and let's look at the word El Shaddai. And if you are a note taker, these are some things you might want to write down. El Shaddai means this. It is the Almighty or Almighty God. It is the all-sufficient God, the most powerful God, a God that is able to do anything. How many believe that God can do anything that he wants to do? How many of you know God can't do anything? God can't lie. In fact, the Bible says it's impossible for him to lie. So don't ever get caught in that little foolish trap. Can God do anything? No, he can't lie. But he can do anything that he wants to do. How many believe? Let's vote today. How many believe? And it's not a trick question. Go ahead, raise your hand. How many believe God can do anything that he wants to do? Most of us never have a problem with that. We believe God is able to do anything that he wants to. He is the El Shaddai God, the most powerful God, the almighty God, all-sufficient God. Come on, say amen to that. He says, I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by my name El Shaddai, but by my name Jehovah. Come on, say Jehovah. Jehovah, I was not known to them. And I want you to look at the definition of Jehovah. Jehovah is a God performing what he had promised and so inspiring confidence in his promises. The next one is a God perfecting what he had begun and finishing his own work. How many know he's the author and the finisher of our faith? Then the last one is how we most of the time define Jehovah. It's the existing one or the one true God. I get this definition, this top one from Merriam-Webster's. I get it from Matthew Henry's concordance. And I mean Matthew Henry nailed it to my belief. Look at what it is. A God performing what he had promised and so inspiring confidence in his promises. He says, I was known by El Shaddai, the God that can do anything, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but by my name Jehovah, I was not known to them. Now, if you're like me, my Bible Rolodex in my brain is going bzzz, and I'm like, wait a minute. Because if you remember when Abraham was on top of the mountain and he was about to offer up Isaac and he was about to kill him on the altar, how many remember that story? And God stopped his arm right when he was about to plunge the knife, and he stops his arm. He says, now I know that you believe me because you immediately obeyed. And what happened immediately when he stopped his arm? Abraham turned around, and what did he see? The ram caught in the thicket. And you know what he said? Jehovah Jireh. And that is a God that sees ahead and provides. Now, wait a minute. Abraham just said the word Jehovah. But we see in Exodus chapter 6, he says, but by my name Jehovah, they was not known to me. Is it possible to know the name and not know really what it is? Oh, come on, church, I'm talking to us now. We can know something about him and not really truly know him. In fact, I say this all the time with salvation. Jerry Rice was one of my heroes. I was a wide receiver in college, and back in that day, Jerry Rice, he was the man, I'm telling you. But I can tell you all kind of stats about Jerry Rice. But if Jerry Rice walked through the door, I would know who he is, but he wouldn't know who I am. I can know all about him and not know him. I can know all about Jesus and still not know him. I can come to church every Sunday and not really know him. I can read his Bible every day and not really know him. He says, they knew me as one facet of who I was, a God that's able to do anything. But I'm about to show you, Moses, and I'm about to show you, church at Leedy today, a new side of me that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they didn't even get to experience this. Come on, are you getting excited about this? He says, I'm about to show you a new facet of who I am. And I am a God performing what I promised. Now let's see how they got this definition. Let's continue to read. Now, I'm going to pop some things up there. And every time, can y'all see that screen? It's kind of a busy screen up there. But every time I get to the words, I will, I want you to shout them out. Let's practice. Ready? Okay. All right. Here we go. Therefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will rescue from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments, and I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land which I give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. Seven times. He said, I'm not just a God that's able to do it. I'm a God that will do it. And here's the problem with most Christians today. And this is why I title this message, The Two Pillars of Faith. Because most Christians today know God's able to do anything he wants to do. The question they have is, will he do it for me? There's a lot of times we've seen God do some things and we know he has the ability. But a lot of times when it comes to the testing of our own faith, where we get really tested is, will he show up for me? It's one thing. I just told you a little while ago, I played college football. And in high school football, Class A high school football back then at Laverne, when I was a wide receiver, I'd line up here, and my cornerback, the defense guy, would be like where she is at, 10 yards deep. My first time at college, when I lined up on the ball, the cornerback was right there. I could smell his bad breath. And the ball snapped, and I used to this, when the ball snapped, I took off running as fast as I could. The ball snapped, and I took off running, and all of a sudden, I saw my cleats go up over my head. And I landed on my back about 3 yards deep. No lie. And I got up, and they said, come on, Barker, get up there, do it again. So I got up there, ball snapped, bap, boom, on my back again. My coach come up, and he picked me up, and he grabbed me by the face mask, and he said, hey, if you don't learn to get off of that, you're not going to make it here. And what I had to learn to do is when the ball was snapped, instead of take off running, I had to get my feet under me and take the hit, get off of it, and get onto my route. And what I had to learn is to do that, I had to get both legs under me. Now, if I have one leg on me, my wife, who's never played football, with one hand could come over and push me off balance. But if I get both feet underneath me, I used to squat about 550. She's not moving me. Come on, are you getting there with me? Most of us are standing on one pillar. I know God's able. But Satan can easily just push you off with just that. You got to get both legs underneath you knowing, I know God's able, and I know he will. Woo, glory to God. It's one thing to have the ability to do it. It's another thing to want to do it. I might have the ability to buy you the nicest Lexus on the lot. I may have that money in my bank account. The question is, will I buy it for you? It's one thing to have the ability. It's a whole other thing to want to. And vice versa. And this is probably more like reality. I would really love to buy you a Lexus. I have the want to, the The problem might be I don't have the ability. God has the ability. And with most Christians, they've questioned in their heart, and you may never said it with your mouth, but they've questioned in their heart, I know he can, but will he for me? And guys, today, I feel like that there's some of you like that. And don't get condemned. We're going to flip the switch from knowing not just he's able, but he also will. Amen? Say he will. This, can you see how this changed me forever? Because I was just like that too. I was one that knew he had the ability. I questioned, will he do it for me? And so Moses, it already looked like he's failed. And God shows up and he says, hey, Moses, I've always been Jehovah. He says, I am Jehovah. And then he goes, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they only saw me as El Shaddai. But by my name, Jehovah, they was not known. And so he says, I'm getting ready to show you a facet of me that you can bank on for the rest of your life. And so Moses goes back, and just like me today, he's excitingly telling the children of Israel, hey, I got good news. He's not just able, he's going to. But they did like a lot of church people do too. Look at verse 9. So Moses spoke unto the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. Anguish of spirit, what is that? It is fear. How many know fear will stop your faith? What is the enemy trying to grip us with right now? Fear. I tell you, you may think I'm foolish, you may think I'm hiding my head in the sand, but my wife and I, we don't watch the news anymore. Not even Fox News. Why? There's lies, but you feel just the spirit of it, and it is the spirit of fear. Come on, my Bible says, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound, self-controlled mind. And you might think, well, you need to be informed. You need to, yeah, there's something, some truth to that, but the only information I need is right here. This is the only news report I need right here. Well, you're just being narrow-minded. Well, yeah, narrow-minded and saved. And peaceful. Some of you need to turn the TV off. Fear has gripped you, and you don't know what to do. Hey, he says, I'm showing up today to show you a God that's not just able, but I'm a God that will. Trust in me. Trust in my reports. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Whose report am I going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. They didn't believe him because fear had gripped them. And then look at what cruel bondage is. Cruel bondage equals life experience. Some of you have had some life experience that's tried to knock you off of your faith feet. But you got to draw a line in the sand that says, you know what? No matter what I see, no matter what I hear, no matter what I've experienced, I'm going to believe this word is true. And if the rest of the world falls off the planet tomorrow, I don't care. I'm going to believe in his word. Amen. I amen myself if I have to. Is it settled in your heart? You've got to be persuaded that, hey, this is truth. My wife shares a great testimony. We got a mic that's live anywhere around. Can I use Luke's? Debbie, come up. I didn't tell her she's doing this, but come on, give it up for my beautiful wife, Debbie.
Good morning.
Go ahead. Share your testimony. Which one you want her to use there?
One, babe.
Just... like,
right there. Make sure that one's on. Check. Here you go. Sorry.
There we go. The one I kind of led into where you had after Bible school and you had family members that.
Well, I had had, I thought, just super blessed life. And then all of a sudden, when I was in my college years, several loved ones began to go home and into eternity. And one of the ones that really shook me was my sister-in-law. My brother had just gotten married. I had just graduated out of Bible school, and she was just 28 years old. And 6 months and 2 weeks after they had gotten married, she went home to be with the Lord. And it was very shaking, you know. I mean, once she was close in age, we were just about a year apart. And as I said, I had just graduated Bible school, and I remember thinking, God, how does this happen? Why did this happen? And all the questions that were there. But I went back to the source that I have stood on since a little girl, and that was God and His Word. And when I went back to His Word, He began to again refresh me and say, Debbie, you can't be moved by what you see. You can't be moved by what you feel or what you hear. You're going to have to make a choice to stand up on my word. And so it was just within a few, actually a few months after several of these loved ones, my father had been diagnosed with cancer. And again, I was feeling this shaking of, I've seen so many pass, but I had to go back to what the truth of God's word said and realize that if I can see it or feel it, if I can hear it, those things are subject to change, but it's the word of God that will never change.
Come on.
And I made a decision, drawing a line in the sand, that I will choose to believe God. I will choose to stand upon His word no matter what my life experiences have been.
Because why?
Because His word is true, and because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
He
doesn't change.
And He said, don't judge me.
One important thing that He said after her passing was, Debbie, you can't judge me by the life or the death of anybody else. You can't judge me by the success or unsuccessful life of anybody else, including your own life, because you haven't made all the right choices. But take me at my word.
Yes.
I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's impossible for me to lie, as Ty has said, and He's faithful.
Yeah.
He's faithful to His word. And so I just want to encourage you. It is a choice. It is a decision. I can allow my feelings and my emotions to dictate what I'm believing, and I'll go into fear, and I'll go into doubt. Or I can look at the word of God, and I can deny what those feelings are. I can deny what those natural reports are, and believe the report of the Lord, and believe that God is able.
Amen.
And He will.
Amen. Amen. Come on, give it up. Did you hear that? Don't judge me by the life or death of anyone. And can we get this settled once and for all? Unless Jesus comes back, the Bible says we're all going to die. Don't let fear be a death be a fearful thing. How many are born again? Come on, let me see your hands one more time. Then death is not defeat. Death is victory. Paul says, hey, to live is one thing. To die is gain. In other words, he goes, I'm going to stay around because you guys need me, but it'd be better if I go on. He had a revelation that, hey, We don't die as Christians. Come on. So many people are so scared to die. I'm preparing you guys today. Ephesians 4:12. The fivefold ministry gifts are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. You know, one of the biggest works of ministry you need to do is tell people that there is a God that loves them and that they don't have to be afraid to die. Because as believers, let me just tell you how we do this. As a believer, if I take my last breath here, my next breath, I'm in the presence of God. I don't die. Woo! All right, so don't judge me by the life or death of anyone. And she said a key thing, because not everyone does it perfect. You know, you say, well, that person, we were standing and believing and we had faith that they would live and they wouldn't die. You don't know what was in that person's heart. I always look at it. They might have caught one glimpse of heaven, and they said, "Woo, I'm out of here. See you in a minute." Hey, well, Mama, she's gone, and I can't tell. Hey, Mama, if Mama's a believer and you're a believer, you're going to see her in about 10 minutes in heaven's time. We have no defeat. Oh, this is better than I'm amening. But a lot of people have let fear and life experience water down their faith. And you got to shake that off. Take me at my word, because my word is true. Come on, say His word is true. So let's wrap this up. God shows up to Moses and said, hey, I know it looks like you failed. But I am a God that's not just able to bring you out. Seven times He told him, I'm a God that will bring you out. And then he closes it, that last verse of the last phrase of verse 8, he goes, I am Jehovah. Woo-hoo-hoo. I'm telling you, that makes me want to shout. I'm not even a shouting person. He goes, I am a God performing what I had promised and so inspiring confidence in my promises. He's going to do it so much, it's just going to be like second nature that you believe God and it works and it happens. Amen, amen, amen. I begin to see this everywhere. I mean, I'd go through the Bible and I would see the two pillars of faith. What are the two pillars? Pillar number one, God's able. Pillar number two, all right, God's able and he will. And I begin to see these everywhere. Look at this verse. Matthew chapter 8, verse 2. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Ah, oh, two pillars right there. First of all, he says, you can make me clean. What pillar is that? He's able. What did he question? Are you willing? And then Jesus answered, oh, hallelujah. He answered it once and for all. Then Jesus put out his hand, touched him, saying, I am willing. Now, guys, get this. He was not making a decision at that point to heal him. A lot of people read that and they say, you know, Jesus was looking at it and go, you're not good enough. No, no healing. Or, yeah, you're good enough. I'm going to heal you. No, 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 no. What he just said is, I am willing. In other words, it's who I am. I am Jehovah. It's just what I do. I'm not just able to do it. It's who I am. I will do it. Glory to God. Woo! He says, I am willing. Be cleansed. And 8 weeks later. No. When? And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. God was teaching us through Jesus now. He's not just the God that's able to do it. He says, it's who I am. I am willing. Be cleansed. Come on, say amen to that. I remember the three Hebrew children. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. My shack, your shack, and a bungalow. All right. The three Hebrew children. What happened? Y'all remember the story? Nebuchadnezzar set up this great big old statue, and he said, when all the band plays, he says, bow down and worship him. And if you don't bow down and worship, what's going to happen? I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace. And so, guess what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, ain't doing it. Come on! God's looking for some people that are going to stand up and say, no, 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 no. I stand for God, and you can make all the rules you want, but I'm standing for God and his word. Amen. Woo! Thought you weren't a shouting preacher. Well, I am today. Got to wake you all up in here in Leedy, Oklahoma. So they said, we're not doing it. And so they get called to Nebuchadnezzar. How many of you know we might get called on the carpet? Hey, at your job, you may get called on the carpet. Right here in western Oklahoma. We're going to come to a point where we're going to have to either choose to stand on the word or bow down to what they say. You better prepare yourself right now. The just shall live by faith. And I got called on the carpet. Verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spoke saying, aren't you glad your mama didn't name you Nebuchadnezzar? You'd have been in junior high and they'd have just called you Nebby all the time. Nebuchadnezzar spoke saying, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I set up? Now, if you're ready at the time that you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, and the symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I set up, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately in the midst of the burning fiery furnace, and who is the God that will deliver you from my hand? Can you imagine someone saying that? Satan, he's bold and says stupid stuff like that. Who's the God that'll deliver you my hand? Well, I'm about to show you. But I want you to underline this. Verse 15, I want you to underline that last part. But if you do not worship, because the question at hand is, are you going to worship? Are you going to bow down and worship or are you not? That's the question at hand. All right? Now, if you're reading the NIV or NLT, I really guard my students against this. Those newer versions of the Bible, sometimes they make it easier to read, but they change a lot of doctrinal belief, and you got to be careful how they're worded, especially right here. All right? So he says, if you bow down and worship, good. If you don't, you're going to be cast in the middle of fiery furnace. Verse 16, fiery furnace doesn't come out very easy. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to him, King, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. In fact, what they're just said is, it's already decided in our heart. We've already made up our mind. Now listen to what they said. If that is the case, if what's the case? If you throw us in the fiery furnace, all right, remember the question at hand. If you throw us in the fiery furnace, our God whom we serve, come on, get ready to shout, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O King. But if not, now the NIV, NLT will add, but if he doesn't, if you go back to the original Hebrew, the word he is nowhere in there. So in other words, what they make it sound like, well, if God delivers us, great, but if he doesn't, well, first of all, let's read that, if he doesn't. But if he doesn't, let it be known to you, King, that we will not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you set. No, duh, you'll be burned up. If he doesn't deliver you, you're going to die. That's not what they're saying here at all. They're saying, hey, if you throw us in the fiery furnace, our God is able and he will deliver us. But if you don't throw us in the fiery furnace, let it be known to you, we're still not going to worship your image. We're still not going to bow down to you. Woo! How many of you see this story different than you ever have before? You got to really rightly divide the word. Be careful of those newer versions of the Bible. They're good sometimes to study to get a little more clarity, but you better make sure what's in there is really in there. He said, you throw us in, our God, they had a faith that was unwaverable. They said, our God's able and he will deliver us. If you throw us in, come on, come on. Yeah, he's able. He's going to deliver us. You don't throw us in, we're still not going to worship you. James tells us that we have to have faith with no doubting. Doubt will mess you up. Jesus' own words, he says, you will believe in your heart and will not doubt. That's Mark chapter 11, James chapter 1. He says, you got to have it firm on the inside of you with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed. And he says, let not that man, the man that doubts, think he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man. That means dipsychos is that word, dipsychos. It's two-spirited. A spirit of belief and a spirit of doubt and unbelief. They can't go together. You got to have it settled on the inside of you. My God's able and he will deliver me. Oh, glory to God. But if not, I'm not going to bow down and worship you. Come on, how many of you hear this is a message for us today? This is a message for us today. People that say that the Bible's irrelevant, they hadn't read it. It's relevant for this second, this hour. If you don't believe it, you're not reading it right. Let's keep going. Come on, how many of you are getting something today? Let's look at another verse. It's popping out everywhere. Hebrews 11:6. I quoted this one earlier. But without faith, it's what? Impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, pillar number one, and conjunction, what's your function? Come on, how many remember that? Some of y'all went back to Saturday morning right there. Some of you under 30, just Google it later. It's the only way I know what a conjunction is that Saturday morning special right there. What does a conjunction do? Ties two different things together. He says that he is a rewarder. He says, I am Jehovah. I've always been the Jehovah. I'm a God the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is, and that he is a rewarder. Come on, say pillar number two. I begin to see it everywhere. Ephesians 3:20, another one we quote all the time. Now to him who is able to, come on, pillar two, then pillar one. He's able to do, pillar two, or one and two. He's able to do it exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works on the inside. You know what the power working on the inside of us is? The spirit of faith and the spirit of God rising up on the inside of us. It's going to take faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You begin to see this everywhere. But let's test time. I gave you this answer a little bit earlier. How does faith come? Come on, say it loud. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? This is the only time I like the NIV version right here. They really got this one right. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Who is Christ? Son of God, but who was He? What does Christ actually mean? The anointed one. Faith comes by hearing the anointed word of God. One of the best things you can pray over your pastor is that the anointing of God floods him. Because every time he preaches under the anointing, come on, how many? I feel the anointing today. Every time you're under the anointing, it says faith rises on the inside of you. So faith comes by what? Hearing. How does faith work? You can't answer. She usually answers my questions. Faith works. How does faith work? A lot of us don't know that one. We know the first one. Galatians 5:6 says, faith worketh by love. Now, what that means, if I just walk around loving everyone, I'm just going to be a great person of faith? No, that's part of it. You have to have a good love walk. But what that really means is my faith works in how much I know my Father loves me. That's what makes my faith work. If God be for me, then who can be against me? He purchased my healing. He purchased my salvation. He purchased my freedom. He gave it all because He loves me. So I have all of that because He loves me. Some of y'all looking at me like a cow at a new gate right now, so let me prove it with the word. Mark chapter 4. The disciples get in the boat and they start across the water and a great big storm rises up. And Jesus is so worried about it, He's asleep on the back of the boat. Come on, that's a picture of where you need to be. Kicked back on the asleep on a pillow. Why? He had faith, but what did He have faith in? His Father, Jesus said, I never do anything or say anything except what I've already heard or seen from the Father. So what did His Father tell Him before they got in the boat? We're going to the other side. And so if I'm going to the other side, that doesn't mean I'm going to get to the middle and sink in the middle of a storm. So what did He do? Why? He had a word. Come on, I'm giving you a word today. When you get a word, you stand on the word and you don't move. So He went to sleep. And the storm rises up. Hey, we're going to face some storms. Now, what were most of the disciples, what were their profession? Professional fishermen. In fact, they grew up fishing on this water they were on. And what do? They ran to the back. Master, don't you care? I love those verses. How many of y'all prayed those? Don't raise your hands. Jesus, don't you care? And they're panicked. And they're freaking out. And these guys are professional fishermen. And they go wake up who? A son of a carpenter. What's he going to do? Build a bigger boat? Why'd they go wake him up? Come on. Pillar number one. They knew he could do something about it. Oh, but get this. What did they say? Jesus, don't you care? They questioned His love. And Jesus gets up and He speaks to the storm and He says, peace, be still. And immediately stopped. And then you know what He did? Speaks to the waves, and then He turns around, and He goes, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Wait a minute. They woke him up. They knew he had the ability to do something about it. But they questioned his love. They questioned, will you do it for us? Guys, they had traveled with him for two and a half, three years at this point, and they seen him do many miracles, but they still questioned. They knew he could do great things, but will you do it for me? And what that really boils down to, and I'm sorry to get really harsh today, but what it really boils down to is you question the love of your Father. Does he love me enough? And just like Jesus with the leper, let me answer it for you once and for all. He says, it's who I am. I love you. I have already showed you. I'm going to do it time and time again. Just believe me. Some of you right here today, you're questioning the love of your Father. Over and over again. He says, I'm a God that's able. But I'm a God that will. Romans chapter 8, let's wrap it up with this. I love this passage. Verse 35 says, who shall separate me from what? Come on, shout it. The love of Christ. And then he just gets all poetical. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. Through him who loves us. Yet in all these things, it doesn't matter what you go through, your Father loves you. Verse 38, and right here's where the rubber meets the road. Paul finally had to get to a place where he says it this way. For I am persuaded. I'm persuaded. Right now, some of you are getting a little bit of it, but you've got to come to the place that you are so settled in what I'm talking about today that no matter what you see tomorrow, no matter what happens tomorrow, you say, no. My God loves me. He's for me. He's going to take care of me. He's going to bring me through this. It might have looked like Moses failed, but he says, I'm a God that's going to bring you up out of here. You might have looked like you lost your job, but he says, I've got something already. That job is not your supply anyway. He is your provider. I'm a God that's able, and I'm a God that's going to bring you through this. I am persuaded. One of the first things you all did this morning is you stumbled out of bed, probably got to the bathroom, you reached over, and you flipped a switch, and you didn't even think twice. There's a light switch over here. And we don't even think twice about this thing. I don't know what it turns on and off. It's not an alarm, is it? Outside. If you were out there, it's really working. Okay, there we go. Now turn them back on. We don't think twice about that. But just think of someone from the Amazon forest that's never heard about electricity, never seen electricity, and they come to your house. A missionary brings them. And they come in, and you greet them at the door, and it's dark, and you just reach over and flip that, and a light goes on. You know what they're going to do? They're going to freak out. They're going to... It's a God. You're a God. No. It's a light. And they're like... And you turn it off, and... And you say, no, it's just electricity, it's a light. I turn it on, and a light comes on. And I flip it down, and it goes off. And you know what they're going to do for about the next hour and a half? Why? It's new to them. But you flipped the switch and didn't even think twice this morning. Why? You've done it so many times, you're persuaded it's going to come on. He's going to be so faithful in your life once you grab a hold of this. Because what activates his power in my life is faith. And when you get a hold of this and you start operating in faith and not just throwing up a prayer with both hands crossed going, oh, I hope this happens. That's how most of you are praying and it's not working because it's not faith. Crossing my fingers and saying, I hope. toss one up and see if it sticks. That's not faith. Bible, when it says hope, it talks about a confident expectation of what he said he will do, he will do. And so in other words, I don't have a cross my fingers hope. I know I have a confident expectation. If he said it, he's going to do it. So now I pray according to this word. And I pray this word, I stand on this word, and then no matter what I see, I stay there. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing which shall be able to separate us from what? From the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The last verse, one of my favorites. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence. Come on, say confidence. The confidence that I have in him. That if I ask anything according to his will, is it his will to save you? Come on, church. Is it his will to save you? Is it his will to heal you? Well, you just never know. Yeah, I do. It's right in there. You know, a lot of churches, that's where they camp out. Well, you just never know. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. No, I've let life experience water down what this says. Come on. I'm kind of in your kitchen, aren't I? It comes back to her testimony. I got to draw a line in the sand. No matter what, I'm going to believe. This is the confidence that I have in him. That if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, oh, come on. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we've asked of him. Come on, that's a confidence. That's a persuasion. You've got to know that God's able, but just as much as you know he's able, you've got to know that he will. My subtitle to today's message is, two pillars of faith. What do pillars in a building do? They hold up everything. I can have one pillar and not the other, and the building falls. Jesus said, you had one, but you questioned the other. How is it you have no faith? He's a God that's able, and he is a God that will. Bow your heads and close your eyes, please. Today, I really felt an assignment. And I love what I call powdered sugar donut messages that pump you up and make you run around the room, but today's more of a broccoli message. But this is what you live on. Today, there's some of you that you've really been firm with foundation or pillar number one, God that's able. And you voted on it. You said, yeah, I know God's able to do anything he wants to do. But when I talked about the second one, it really affected you on the inside because you know you're not very sure on the he will. You know he's able. You know he has the ability. But like the disciples, do you care enough for me? And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to pray for you. But I believe that's maybe several of you in the room today. If that's you, just raise your hand right where you're at and say, yeah, Pastor, pray for me. Yeah, hands going up everywhere. It's one thing to know he is able. It's a whole other thing to know he will. And when I really got into it a second ago, and this one's going to be a tough one, I'm going to tell you. But you had to come to the realization that maybe you've questioned the love of the Father. Does he really love me? Faith comes by hearing, but faith works by how much I know he loves me. And as I was going through that, I really felt that there were some of you that that's been a question in your heart. You know it in your head, but you've questioned it in your heart. And this one's really sensitive, and I don't want anyone looking around. No one, every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't want to embarrass anyone with this. But I know that's several of you. You've questioned the love of the Father. If that's you, just raise your hand right where you're at. Yeah, lots of hands. There's some of you that have some real life experience, and I'm not making light of anything that's happened. Debbie had some major things in her life that happened. But there's been some things in your life that's happened that's knocked you off your feet. And you've had some fear and some life experience that's maybe watered down your faith. But today you're going to say, nope, I'm going to stand back up. I'm going to draw that line in the sand. And no matter what happens, I'm going to choose to believe Him. If I'm talking to you, raise your hand with those. Yeah. He's faithful, no matter what you've seen. And I don't know about this one, but I just felt a while ago, there's maybe some of you in here that what I said, you can know all about Jerry Rice, but not really know Him. You can know all about Jesus. You can come to church every Sunday. You can read your Bible every day and still not know Him. He says in the last day, there's going to be a lot of people come to me and say, Lord, Lord. And He said, depart from me. I never knew you. It's not what you know about Him. It is, do you know Him? Does He know you? Is He Lord and Savior? I grew up in a pastor's home. My dad was a pastor. My granddad was a pastor. I grew up in church. I can count the number of times I missed on one hand. And I made Him Lord at about 12 years old, but my high school years, college years, young adult years, I walked completely away from Him. I was still going to church every week, and I was still reading my Bible, but I wasn't serving Him. And I don't know, maybe there's someone here today that you've never made Him really Lord. You don't really know Him as Lord. You know about Him. Or maybe you're like me, you made that decision, but you walked away. If that's you, you can settle this once and for all today, just like I told you earlier. And again, with sensitivity, no one looking around. If I'm talking to you and you've never made Him Lord or you've walked away from it, today's your day to come back. If I'm talking to you, just raise your hand right where you sit. Yeah, I see those hands back there. Yes, I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand to our feet. This may not be a normal thing, but as you can tell, I'm not a normal guy. I'm from Laverne. And he said, well, you told us you wouldn't embarrass you. I don't mean to embarrass you. I won't embarrass you. But I really feel a strong call, and not just for those that raise their hand. I feel a strong call for a lot of this body that we're facing some stuff, and it's going to take faith to get us through. And I really felt, I normally just close, you know, with a prayer while you're standing there, but I really felt to call you forward. And if you raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand, or you just need prayer to go through some things you're going through, what I want you to do, we're just going to come and we're going to stand facing the stage. So if that's you, just step out of where you're at and come to the front. You say, well, we don't normally do that. That's all right. Today's all right. So just come to the front. Come on. Come on. You're not alone. There's a lot of hands that went up for a lot of things. Just right there. You're good right there. Just stand facing me. If you're going through some tests, you know, just the Holy Spirit just prompted me on something that there's someone that you just got a diagnosis and it's really caused fear to try to rise up on the inside of you. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. I believe in doctors. I believe in going to doctors. But you know what? If doctors could fix everything, they already would have. When I go to the doctor, I have to go in faith. When I take medicine, I have to take it in faith. And so maybe you're there and there's been a diagnosis or maybe a family diagnosis. That's what I just felt, is someone is facing a medical issue and you need to stand in faith. If that's you and you're not already up here, but you're back there, come join us too. Hallelujah. Now I want you to smile. The best thing at church is right here, coming to Him. Just forget about me. You're coming to Him. And I'm going to pray with you. And I'm going to stand with you. And I'm going to come by and we're going to lay hands on you and believe. Nothing weird's going to happen. We're just going to stand and believe. That'd be the first today. Everything else has been weird. So, nah. I feel like family. Is that good? We're going to start with the prayer because there were hands that went up to pray a prayer of dedication. And you can pray this and not believe it and nothing will happen. But you can pray this and believe it and everything will change. So let's pray and believe today. And I'm going to lead us in it. I want everyone in the whole room to repeat this with me. If you're watching online today, I want you to pray this with us as well. If you raised your hand on any of those, we're going to believe for you too as you're watching online. Repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you're the Son of God, that you came to earth to die for my sins. I believe you were buried in the grave and that God raised you from the dead. And I ask you to forgive me and wash me clean of all my sin. I believe you died for me. And I receive you now as my Savior. And I make you now Lord of all my life. I give my life to you. I belong to you. Now fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that and believed it, you are born again. And the enemy used to try to steal that from me. He goes, well, you, that didn't work. You didn't feel any different. And I tell people now, good, you're not supposed to feel any different. You're not saved by feelings. You're saved by faith. You might have got goosebumps. You might have not. You know what it means if you got goosebumps? Nothing. You're saved by faith because you choose to believe. And so when the enemy tells, and he'll come, oh, that didn't work. You just say, yeah, I did. Talk to the hand. Ears not listening. All right? Now let's pray and agree. Debbie, I want you to join me. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that whatever they came for, Father, I don't need to know. You know. And so, Lord, we come in agreement that as they stand in faith, they're taking a stand. And they've got it settled in their heart. Lord, I believe your word. And I stand, no matter what I see, no matter what I hear, no matter what I even feel, I believe you. And Lord, I thank you right now that you're doing a deep work in every person here. Lord, I thank you that by faith they stand. They're not moved by what they see. They're not moved by the report of man. They're moved by only the report of the Lord. Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that there's been things that have tried to knock them off their feet, but they're standing firm. Thank you, Lord, that they're rising up in strength and more faith. The enemy's tried to knock you off your feet, but he's a defeated foe. You might have got knocked back, but now it's time to come up with a comeback. Lord, I just thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you're doing a deep work. Father, I thank you that you're moving. I thank you that you're doing something in each and every one of us. We stand in faith. Lord, we're believers. The easiest thing for us to do is just believe. So, Lord, I come against the spirit of fear. I come against the spirit of worry and anxiety. That's not from you. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound, self-controlled mind. Lord, I thank you that we're settled in the love of God. Our Father loves us. He loves us so much, He sent everything. He sent His only begotten Son. Lord, as we've sometimes questioned, today we solidify it. You love us, you're for us, and that's what makes our faith work. You love us so much, you're not going to let us perish. And so, Father, I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you for faith. Faith rising up, not in gifts, talents, or abilities, but faith in you. Lord, I thank you that you're building deep. And that building goes deep way before it goes up. Lord, I thank you that you're solidifying things once and for all. That as we stand on your word, it's being solidified. It's the foundation that we build everything upon. And Lord, I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I come against the spirit of fear in anyone here. Lord, I thank you that you loved us. And greater is he that's on the inside of us than he that's in this world. Lord, I thank you for strength in their innermost being. They rise up in strength. They rise up in faith. And they choose to believe. And Lord, we give you all thanks, all praise, and all glory. In Jesus' name. And everyone agrees, say, amen, amen, amen. Come on, give them a hand as they're going back to their seats. Glory to God. I didn't do a commercial before, and I'm not going to take very long here, we got some new things since we've been here last. In fact, we got some new little things right here. We're almost getting into last century. We've been on CDs and DVDs forever, but now we're producing most everything we have on USB drives. I had a guy come in the other day. He bought a brand new pickup, and he bought CDs. He goes, I can't even play these on my pickup. It's only got USB. So we started putting everything on USB. So we have on MP3s, so you can listen to it in the car, or we got HD video. I've been recording everything on video, HD video, 1080p for a long time. And so most of our series that we have back there, we've got on video. I call that a resource table. It's not a product table. It's resources. Faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing and hearing. The more you get it in you, the more you stand on it in faith. And so it's resources. If you can't afford something that you want back there, you come talk to me. I'll buy it for you. That's how much I believe in the word. Okay? So if there's something that you need back there and it's just not in your budget, just come, edge up close to me and say, I'd really like to have this. I'll buy it for you. But today I preached one of the messages from this one. And this is part of almost all of my Foundations of Faith class that I teach at Bible College. And so this one of the messages that is from this is called The Building Blocks of Faith. It's the second one in there, God Will. And so that's back there. We just put this together. We got a bigger drive, and this is called our Classics Box. This has 9 series on it. If you bought all 9 of them, it's over $300. We put all of them on one drive for you and made it for just $200. So if you want to get that, you can get almost 9, and including 2 of those that I've never had since we've been here, 2 new ones. So that's back there as well. We also have this. For the ladies, it's a journal. For the guys, it's a notebook. I don't journal. I take notes. But it's Barker Ministries leather bound. I think it's a genuine imitation leather. I'm not sure what it is. But it's back there if you need a good notebook. I believe in taking notes. In fact, my pastor at home says this, note takers are history makers. And so every time, I know I've been hearing Pastor Mark that he's putting room on the back of the bulletin. Take notes every time you come. Why? It's not just about you. Ephesians 4:11 says the fivefold ministry gift has a purpose. I said it during the service, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. You're going to hear stuff today that someone at work or someone in the neighborhood is going to need tomorrow. And you need to have the notes so you can preach my message to them.
Amen.
So we got notebooks back there as well. Thank you guys. We love you all so much. It's an honor to be here. Pastor Mark, take it over.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Was that awesome? I can testify to this on Ty. You guys heard that today, the Holy Spirit, amen? You can't do that, guys, without God leading you, and that's just a powerful... We have his resources, he's a good friend of mine, but hearing by the Word, what we're experiencing today, I need to experience that daily, amen? We have a basket back here for Pastor as well, and when he does that, and it's life-changing... That's what equips them to keep doing ministry. So if you feel your heart to give, basket back there, and then as well as the resources are that good because God is with this man of God. Amen. And it's awesome to hear him preach because it's every time, Pastor. I love you, man. I can't believe our whole lives being together. But I almost had to change my message for next week because you were going right to it, brother. And no, it was perfect. I mean, I love when God does that because it just led right into what God's put on my heart. Okay, so stand with me and let's pray, and we will go have some lunch. Amen. Amen. Father God, we come to you, Lord, again in Jesus' name, thankful for Pastor Ty and Debbie, God, and what they mean to this body and what they mean to the ministry everywhere. God, we're thankful for them. God, bless them today.
God, as we go forth changed, we walk out of here with victory and salvation. And I know, God, that you spoke to every one of us today, and there's changing things that have happened. God, we just give you honor and praise for the victory that we already have, and that we know today that we are rewarders when we diligently seek you, God. And that just stuck out in my heart today, God. We leave here diligently seeking you, Lord. And God, we just pray for a great, great week ahead. And God, life-changing things as we go into this week and into next week. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Everybody go back and Ty and Debbie back there and our baskets there.